The name's Bond. James Bond.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out, way out. That's where the fun is, way out, way out. That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host to the lesser heard side of rock, one consisting of album cuts and B-sides, along with a healthy dose of rock and roll vinyl history, and at times some not so subtle commentary, from the blues of the 30s to today's new releases and everything in between. We have a lot to do, so let's get started. Woody Harrelson in the film Welcome to Sarajevo is quoted as saying, "Only two good things ever came out of England. One, America. Two, the Beatles." Now I'm going to add one more, and that being James Bond. The music of the spy secret agent genre is more the theme of the show than that of Bond or the Beatles. But there are some way cool connections between the Beatles and the Bond films that we will explore. Most can be explained as the film and music industries overlapping in some areas in 60s England. Now, this is not going to be your typical Vinyl Garage, if there is such a thing. There won't be a lot of rock and roll and instrumentals, film scores, TV themes, and easy listening pop tunes may predominate. But we'll fix that next week. Sean Connery wasn't the first to portray James Bond. That honor went to Barry Nelson in 1954, adaptation of Casino Royale. But Sean would premiere as the spy in 1962 in the first Bond movie, Dr. No. Now, a couple of Beatle trivia items associated with Dr. No. The film and the first Beatle single, Love Me Do, were released the same day on October 5th. The movie didn't have a proper title song that we would come to expect, but it did premiere the James Bond theme performed by guitarist Vic Flick, who coincidentally contributed to A Hard Day's Night 1 year later, and is also rumored to be the musician who performed the spy intro on the song Help.
With love, I fly to you, much wiser since my goodbye to you. I I've traveled the world to learn I must return from Russia with love. I've seen places, faces, and smiled for a moment, but you haunted me so. Still my tongue tied, young pride would not let my love for you show. In case you'd say no, to Russia I flew, but there a man I suddenly knew you'd care again. My running around is through. I fly to you from Russia with love.
Matt Monro, who was signed to EMI by Beatle producer George Martin's title song performance of From Russia with Love, will become the norm for subsequent Bond films. But it was Shirley Bassey's performance of Goldfinger that set the standard for all subsequent Bond film title songs, coincidentally also produced by George Martin. But the Beatle connection doesn't stop there. James disses the boys in the film when entertaining a Bond girl, realizes the champagne has lost its chill.
My dear girl, there are some things that just aren't done, such as drinking Dom Perignon 53 above a temperature of 38 degrees Fahrenheit. That's as bad as listening to the Beatles without earmuffs.
Goldfinger, he's the man with the Midas touch, a spider's touch, such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. You feel for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her. It's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He's kidding.
government has its Secret Service branch. America, it's CIA. France, Deuxième Bureau. England, MI5. A messy job? Well, that's when they usually call on me or someone like me. Oh, yes. My name is Drake. John Drake.
Before Bond, there was Drake, John Drake, on the British TV show Danger Man, starring Patrick McGoohan. Remember that name. From 1960 to 1961. After being canceled and resurrected in the States in 1964, its title was changed to Secret Agent, with the Johnny Rivers song used as a theme. The original Danger Man theme was titled Highwire and was performed by the Bob Leeper Orchestra. Interesting, the Drake-John Drake dialogue 2 years before it was Bond, James Bond. Not probably just a coincidence. The original main title theme to Thunderball was Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and was again performed by Shirley Bassey. For some reason, the results of the recording was not exactly what the producers had in mind. It was re-recorded by Dionne Warwick. Due to legalities, neither was used in the film. The main title theme was rewritten to use Thunderball in the lyrics, and the nod was given to Tom Jones.
He's tall and he's That's why the zero's double. Mr. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. He's suave and he's smooth, and he can soothe you like vanilla. The gentleman's a killer. Mr. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. Damoiselles in danger have filled the stranger's path. Like a knife, he cuts through life. Like every day's the last. He's fast and he's cool. He's from the school that loves and leaves them. A pity if it grieves them. Mr. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bangs. Not the fold. Damoiselles and danger have filled the stranger's path. Like a knight, he cuts. From the school that loves and leaves them. A pity if it grieves them. Mr. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bangs. Not a
small screen. The most popular incarnation of the Avengers featured Diana Rigg as Emma Peel from 1965 to 1968, the time the show premiered on U.S. television. The Simon Templar character was played by the not-quite-yet-Bond Roger Moore in the British TV show The Saint. Despite what you may or may not think of the 1967 film Casino Royale, it's technically a Bond movie. Too many 007s, not serious enough, hard to follow, or all the money thrown at it, destined it to fail. All good reasons, but if you look past all that and focus on the British humor, it's a good time. Nothing like The Reboot, a proper Bond film, in 2006. going to parody the genre, why not go over the top? As if Casino Royale wasn't enough. How's Vincent Price as the mad scientist, his sidekick assistant, uncreatively named Igor, the good guys, Frankie Avalon and Dwayne Hickman. Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine, with the title song performed by The Supremes.
Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine. Dr. Goldfoot, the wildest thing that you've ever seen. There once was a man with a machine. Dr. Goldfoot and his Bikini Machine. Whenever he needed a girl on the scene. Dr. Goldfoot and his Bikini Machine. He pushed a button just like nothing a girl would have been. I mean, my dear, the cutest girl in the whole wide world. And she'd be paid just like a slave. Woo! Dr. Goldfoot and his Bikini Machine. Dr. Goldfoot, the wildest scene that you've ever seen.
listening to The Garage, The Vinyl Garage.
We have all the time in the world. Time enough for life to unfold all the precious things love has in store. We have all the love in the world. If that's all we have, you will find we need nothing more. Every step of the way will find us with the cares of the world far behind us. We have all the time in the world just for love, nothing more, nothing less, only love. The gifts of the world far behind us. Yes, we have all the time in the world just for love, nothing more, nothing less, only love.
Twice title song was by Nancy Sinatra, and the only Bond film to feature George Lazenby as 007 on Her Majesty's Secret Service, All the Time in the World, sung by Louis Armstrong. About this time, the U.S. television market began producing their own spy secret agent shows. Shows such as Man from U.N.C.L.E., I Spy, Get Smart, Mission Impossible, and what was conceived of as James Bond on Horseback, The Wild Wild West.
My name is Napoleon Solo. I'm an enforcement agent in Section 2 here. That's operations and enforcement.
I am Ilya Kuryakin. I am also an enforcement agent. Like my friend Napoleon, I go and I do whatever I am told to by our chief.
Oh, yes. Alexander Waverly, number one, Section 1. In charge of this, our New York headquarters. It's from here that I send these young men on their various missions.
Thank you.
As always, should you or any of your IM force be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
American actor John Gavin was signed to be the new Bond for Diamonds Are Forever. He was considered to be the bullpen after Lazenby left and Sean Connery hadn't committed. Wanting a known commodity, Connery was offered $1.25 million plus a percentage of the proceeds. It would be his swan song as 007. Gavin was also paid for the role. And speaking of a known commodity, Shirley Bassey got the call for the title song.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever. Hold one up and then caress it. Touch it, stroke it and undress it. I can see every part, nothing hides in the heart.
The pinnacle of the Bond-Beatles connection is 1973's Live and Let Die. John and Paul once believed at the beginning of their songwriting career, getting a song in a Bond movie was the ultimate affirmation of their talents. They had arrived. The title cut was originally intended to be sung by a female soul singer, but Paul and producer George Martin, who himself scored the rest of the film, were adamant about Wings performing the cut. Martin also scored a soul version for the nightclub scene in the movie. That was performed by B.J. Arnall. I'm including that version because few have heard it, which happens to be the whole idea behind the garage.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, oh, you used to say, live and let live. But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give it a cry, say live and let die. You got a job to do, you got to do it well. You gotta give the other fella
Earlier this hour mentioned you should remember a name back when we were discussing Danger Man, that being Patrick McGoohan. Upon leaving the aforementioned series, he would create the spy secret agent TV show that would become legend in the genre, The Prisoner. Lasting only one season of 17 episodes, The Prisoner was the story of an unnamed British Secret Service agent who resigned without explanation, much to the chagrin of his superiors. His abduction, imprisonment in what was called the village, and subsequent escape. But the twist of the show is he never knows who his captors are. Is it who he worked for, or is it the enemies he worked against? All the while not answering the question, why did you resign?
Where am I?
In the village.
What do you want?
Information. Whose side are you on? That would be telling. We want information.
Information. Information.
You won't get it. By hook or by crook, we will. Who are you? The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Thank you. designed. I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
1974's The Man with the Golden Gun has the distinction of having two title songs recorded, one authorized and one in hope it would be included in the movie. The song selected was by Lulu. The runner-up was by Alice Cooper. It didn't go to waste. He included it on his Muscle of Love LP. Alice's version may have been the better decision, however. Lulu's has the dubious distinction of being the only Bond title song not to chart in the US or the UK. And besides, Alice is way cooler. Here's both. You decide.
We'll be right back.
But before we go, a couple more to add to the Bond Beatle connection. In The Hard Day's Night, Paul's grandfather visits a casino with a beautiful girl on his arm, the actress Margaret Nolan. She was also the golden girl, literally, in the opening sequence to Goldfinger. And the casino is the same one from Dr. No, Le Cercle in London. And Barbara Bach, the Bond girl from Spy Who Loved Me, would soon be Ringo's wife. Thanks for spending a perfectly good hour of your life here in the Vinyl Garage. Keep in touch with the show at facebook.com/vinylgarageshow or directly via email at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. Thanks for listening. Right,